Alright, this is camp meeting month, praise God. And we will be teaching a whole lot along the lines of Christian meetings and how to function and flow. Because some of us, it takes us a bit to switch. Allow me to use the word switch, I hope I'm right. But we need to know how to place value, or placing value on Christian meetings. Yesterday we taught on what yesterday at the Workers' Congress? Discerning the Lord's body. Hebrews 2. Placing value on Christian meetings. I was born again, I received Christ, better still, in a Christian meeting. I attended the service, the gospel was preached, and I received Christ. I can remember the very first song I sang, the first song I sang when I received Christ, was the song they were singing. I will cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. At any time, I don't know what to do. I will cast all my cares upon you. The brother who sang that song, his name is Brother Ehide Eime. I know how he sang it. I know where he sang it. So my salvation is real. I can't forget it. And who knows the first song I was taught after? You won't forget it. As the dead parted for the water, so my soul longed after you. You alone are my heart desire. Now I change it to love, not I long. Right? Now who remembers how I first sang it? As Daniel. Alright, that means you are keeping track of my wrongs. Thank you. Alright, Hebrews 2. So, Christian meetings are vital. I am a product of Christian meetings. I am a product of Christian meetings. I've got to know I was called to preach the way I'm doing today in a Christian meeting. I got to know it. I got to know the importance of prayer and deep fellowship with the Word of God in a Christian meeting. And it's not unique to me. That's just how it is in the Word. Look at Hebrews 2. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, the writer of Hebrews says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory." See, I've been brought to glory. So he brought many sons to glory. "To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Let's take verse 11 together. "Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you." The word church there is the word ecclesia. E-double-K-L-E-S-I-A. In the Greek it means to call out. Two words. Ek means out. Then laleo, or no, kaleo, sorry. It means to call. So we are called out from the world. We are called out from sin. We are called out from darkness. We are called out. So by the virtue of that fact, hear this now. We are not just called out individually, because ecclesia is never one person. We are called collectively. So you were not saved into isolation. You were saved into a family, into a community. A community. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith," that's salvation, "having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised," that's salvation. "And after salvation," see the next thing, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. To provoke. I told you the word provoke in the first service. It means to stimulate. The first thing after salvation is fellowship. Is what? Not Bible study. The first thing when a man receives Christ, the first thing you need to introduce to him is fellowship. To come among believers. Fellowship. We're saved unto fellowship. Saved into a family. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 42. He says those who received Christ in 41. In 42 he says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In prayers, breaking of bread, and in fellowship. As you are saved. You are saved unto fellowship. Not a personal, say I have a personal walk with God. That's your business. You are saved to fellowship. So, the moment a man receives Christ, don't give him a book to read. No. The first thing he needs is fellowship. In the first service, we taught on when believers fall. What do you do? And I taught you what to do. Even you as a person, what to do? Fellowship. God made it so. I'm not one of those people who try to philosophize why God does what he does. I'm not into all that. I just do what he says. The wisdom of God is the fellowship among brethren. That's the wisdom of God. And you must learn that. Follow this one now. In Hebrews 12, he says, we have come, verse 22, unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. He said, to the general assembly, the word is Panagouris, a festival. Then he says, to the ecclesia, the church of the firstborn. So you came to a family at salvation. You didn't come only to Christ. As my Lord and Savior. We say Lord and personal Savior. He's not your personal Savior. He's the Savior of the world. You have come to a people. Remember, Abraham looked forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. That's a people. You are not saved to isolation. You are saved to a family. You were brought into a family. Praise the Lord. You following that? You are brought into a family. And so when you read Hebrews 10 again, go back to Hebrews 10 again. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. The word forsaking there means to desert. When you exempt yourself from Christian meetings. Of ourselves. The word assembling is gathering. It is another Greek word. I'll just give it to you. E-P-I-S-U-N-A-G-O-G-E. E-P-I-S-U-N-O-N-A, sorry, G-O-G-E. It's a physical gathering. Anytime you see that word used, it is used literally for gathering things. You must not forsake gatherings. You mustn't. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It is an instruction. If you are forsaking a Christian meeting and praying in your house, you are in disobedience. I told you to obey is better than speaking in tongues. Obey. You are instructed. Be there. Learn to do the right thing at the right time. Not forsaking. The assembling. That is the gathering of believers. Look at the book of Acts. We'll just look all through that then. Acts 1:14. Just as Jesus, you know, I told you yesterday, when Jesus was going to leave the earth, when I say that, you know what I mean. He always addressed groups. Look at his ministry. He always addressed groups. All the things we call the Great Commission today, Mark 16, 15 to 17 and 18, and Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Luke 24, 47 to 48 to 49, he was addressing groups. He would call them together, then talk to them. Only on one occasion, and we're not given the details, did he have to speak to Peter privately. But other occasions, he spoke to them in a congregation. John 20, verse 21 to 23. Same thing. He spoke to them in a congregation. Because Christian gatherings have more priority than your devotion. Let me repeat that. Christian gatherings have more priority than your devotions. It is Christian gatherings that hate your devotion. No believer ought to be a lone ranger. None. Hear this well. So he always spoke to them. There are things you will never know. You will never experience till you come among believers. Many things. Not one thing, no. Many things. I told you in the first service when I was teaching when believers sing. The first trap Satan puts on the in line for you is that he tells you not to what? Fellowship. Oh, you have committed a great sin. You have done the wrong thing. Somebody has offended you. The first thing he works on is for you to dissociate yourself. It's not healthy. You were born into a family. So, I said earlier, Jesus always spoke to groups. Look at Acts 1. Verse 3 to verse 8 again, he spoke to groups. But look at when he left them physically, you know what I mean by that. Verse 14. And they all continued with what? One accord. They all continued with one accord. In prayer and supplication. Acts 2, 1. They were all with one accord in one place. Don't say one accord. One place. Acts 2, 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers. Let's take 46 together. And they daily in one accord in the temple. And singleness of heart. Look at Acts 4. After Peter and John were threatened, and they were told not to preach again, I thought they would go to the mountain to pray or go and seek the Lord. Where did they go? Verse 22, verse 23. And being let go, they went to where? Their own company and reported. Now, that's not business enterprise, alright? You say, I went to my own company. Company here means your own group, the church. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard, they lifted up their voice. See that again? Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church, as many as heard these things. In verse 14, he now says, the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. I explained that to you yesterday. They were added to their number. Acts of the Apostles again. Chapter 5. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 6:1 to verse 3. Again, they called unto themselves. The emphasis of the book of Acts of the church is the gathering. When you read the church in the book of Acts, it's not talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about gatherings. Gatherings. Acts again, chapter 9. Okay, let's take Acts 8 first. And Saul was concerned of his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Okay? Against the church, the body of Christ, the gatherings. Look at Acts 9, Acts 9, verse 31. Then at the church's rest, throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Were multiplied. So when you read the church in the book of Acts, it's talking about a gathering. Even after Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius, Acts 11, verse 1, the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So Peter went to their midst again where they discussed the salvation of the Gentiles. Acts 11. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. And they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Look at verse 26. Then he went to look for Paul, that's Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year, they did what? Assembled themselves with the church. And taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Acts 12, when Peter was arrested. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of who? The church. Unto God for him. Was that individually or collectively? The church. Not individual prayer. They were praying together. It's Acts 12. Look at Acts 13. Now, verse 1, they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, the gathering. Acts 14. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and when they had ordained their elders in every church that prayed with fasting, they commanded to the Lord unto whom they believed. You can go on and on. The book of Acts focuses a whole lot on gatherings. The church progresses with its gatherings. Note that. There's a high premium placed on coming together, the local church. You must respect it. You must understand. It's part of your spiritual growth. You know, we're in the days of internet. You can say, well, I'll check it online. You know, all those things that people are doing today. I'll check it. People have asked me why we do not do some things. They've asked us why we are not doing a live broadcast of our services. There's nothing wrong in it. I get to watch some other meetings like that. They've asked us why are we not doing that so that we can watch all over the world. See, there are things that you can do. Alright? Because everybody's doing it. And that's fine. And I said to them, I'm not convinced we should. Someone said, why? People want to watch you. People want to watch you. I mean, with the way people go on our website to listen to our teachings, we get over 1 million every month. That would have been a catch. 66,000 people. You know, I said, I want people to go to church. Not our own. Go to church. I know the danger of having people hooked on our services and not going anywhere. There's a danger in it. Not for us. It's for them. So I'm here to be convinced. I remember years ago, 2009, a minister friend of mine that I respect a lot, Pastor Seku, who's in London, he asked me a question. We were talking, in fact, at that time there was not much of his live broadcast. He said, the church needs to decide how it will use the social media before it bombards it. Because he's an IT person, so he understood what he was saying. And I found out that's the truth. Why will a Christian sit at home and bring out his phone, pam, 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 and listen? And there's a gathering of believers. How many run their families that way? Hello, Daddy. Good morning. Good morning, son. All right. Have a great day. Then you text each other. How do you want to do that? Though it happens today that a family is in the sitting room and everybody has a device and they are not talking. What do you mean? That's the father. The mother is watching Instagram. And the children are doing all sorts. No. Man was created for fellowship. And that's important. In the days of the apostles, they had access to letters. They could have sent letters to everybody and said, you know, just come and write your own part of this letter and read it at home and pray. No. In fact, the letters were read together. Praise the Lord. Brother Hagin said this. He said, what's the will of God for the last days? We have a prophecy in the 80s. He said, to bring strong local churches who are full of the word and full of the Holy Ghost. I'm convinced of that. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Praise the Lord. No sister or brother. Okay, brother will marry sister, sister will marry brother. Should not ask, brother, what church do you attend? What do you do there? Anybody can say, I attend church. Someone told me, I met a guy one day. He said, I attend this church now. He said, which church? He said, it's community church. The guy was asking for money. He said, you know, I've not been able to come. I said, what kind of church is it? He said, it's a Catholic church. Right at this. You know, anybody can drop names. So we must know that. We were born to a family. I like what Mark Hankins says. He said, because we're called together the body of Christ, that means a gathering is required. It's required. It's required. Watch this. And in these gatherings, there are different kinds of Christian gatherings. Different kinds. Hear this well. We have the teaching gathering, where we gather to teach. I was privileged years ago to read for the first time a book by Kenneth Hagin. Plans, Purposes and Purses. We even taught about it, taught on it in our church here, where he asked the question, when you want to have a program, a meeting, what is the purpose? You know, that was a golden question. It was in the 90s I read it. What is the purpose? What kind of meeting is it? Some people don't know that there are different kinds of meetings. They don't know. So we have the teaching gathering, where we come together as a church to be taught. Acts 2:42. In the book of Acts, the apostles' teaching. That means some of the meetings focused on what? Doctrine. And they were the primary meetings. Doctrine. Some people, for them, church is where you just go on Sunday, you just sing and sing. Sometimes, I'm not trying to criticize people, but sometimes when I have the chance to, maybe I'm not in service and I'm somewhere, and I see some services. Praise worship. 30 minutes, 1 hour. Then in the middle of it, somebody will be talking. Even when the person is preaching, you will still not know. There will still be music playing somewhere. Then they will come to sing again and say Thanksgiving. Then they will, And nothing has to do with Africans. We like celebration. Just be singing, 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 singing. The same people. If you say, let's begin to teach the Bible, they open to just one verse throughout. And they will doze off. If I start saying that the original language is So I just look at the person that invited him. Why did you bring me to this kind of place? That's why I was coming to Bible school. I was coming to church, not Bible school now. I'm not called to ministry. Why should I come here and be hearing the context, pretext, what's all that for? But the guy dozed off. They hear, cringing, cringing, he wakes up. In the church. He's enjoying himself. Oh, let us pray. Let us pray. We want to pray and make power available. Let us pray. He starts with, Adonai. Must you always sing? When I was a younger preacher, I won't do that again. I was to lead a prayer meeting. He got this. Adonai said, pray! Why would you go to church and you'll just be dancing? You are praising somebody you are not ready to know. You are not different from my area, but he doesn't know you. You don't know the person. The guy says, come, let me tell you about myself. Oh, live story. Let me tell you why I'm live story. No long thing. Baba. Why are you looking at me like that? Is it not true? How are you praising somebody you don't know? Like Pastor Jake said outside, said to the unknown God. That is what it is. Your true love for God is not singing, it's learning. Singing. You sang in the kitchen, you sang in the bathroom, you sang driving, you are singing, just singing. You sang, even song you don't know the meaning, you sang. That's why if you sing a song in a language I don't know, I won't sing it with you. I'll ask people, if it's Hausa, I'll say, what does it mean? I say, okay, then, wait, what's that? Tell me the meaning first. If you are not Yoruba, you sing a Yoruba song, don't just be saying, I don't know that, but I just like the oyigi, yigi, yigi. Ask them what it means. Because most of those Yoruba songs are songs sung for Yoruba deities. That's why they almost crucified me. Olowo Gboro is an incantation. You know I'm a prince. Not spiritual. Well, it's also spiritual. Hallelujah. The teaching meetings, praise God. The teaching meetings are very primary in the church, where the word of God is taught. We also have what we call the Holy Ghost meetings, where we come together and we have demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. The two can happen together. Demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:1-4. Is that a Holy Ghost meeting? Is that a Holy Ghost meeting? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. The Bible says, and there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them, as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's a Holy Ghost meeting. In a Holy Ghost meeting, all of us participate in utterance and revelation gifts primarily. A Holy Ghost meeting. A Holy Ghost meeting is not where the man of God prophesies over your life. This week, you will not know failure. Amen. This week, everybody that stands against you will kneel before you, including your pastor. This week you will be unique. Unique what? That's not a Holy Ghost meeting. That's a declaration meeting. In a Holy Ghost meeting, the gifts of the Spirit are in demonstration. And the believers there, not the man of God, the believers there participate. We also have prayer meetings. For example, Jesus gave them an instruction for a Holy Ghost meeting in Luke 24:49. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. For I send the promise of my Father upon you. That is a Holy Ghost meeting. In Matthew 28, he says, go ye and make disciples of every nation. Matthew 28:19, which is to teach. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe the things that commanded you. That's a teaching service. But Luke 24:49 is a Holy Ghost service. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on. So there's a Holy Ghost service.
There's also a prayer gathering. A prayer gathering. Where we come together to pray. Prayer. Acts 2:42. They continue steadfastly in prayers. Pray. That's a prayer gathering. So we come together to teach. We come together for the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We come together to also pray. Acts 4, verse 24. They lifted up their voice in one accord in prayer. In a prayer service, the primary things we pray for are not individual needs. They are things that bother all of us together, the church. And more importantly, it concerns the gospel. Prayer service. We have prayer services. Acts 12 verse 5. Supplication and prayer was made by the church to God. The church. We come together to pray. My first prayer meeting as a Christian was 3 hours. My first prayer meeting. I got born again like this. The first prayer meeting, they said, you have to pray. Was 3 hours. They didn't give me room to learn what prayer is. 3 hours. But the very next day, I was taken to crusade. A new covenant church, I'm under. About to start that church then. So there was no room to, I didn't collect cake and meat pie and coke. No. The first thing I was given, as I got saved, they gave me New Life in Christ by Brother Paul Ginodu. That's the first book I read. New Life in Christ. Go and study it. And that evening, I went for evangelism. So I can't train people otherwise. That is, I got born again around 9:30. You get my point? I got filled with the Holy Ghost around 9:40. I know the period. By 3 o'clock to 4, they are taking me out to do evangelism. Not to invite people to go and preach. Between 3 and 4. The guy said, watch what I'm going to do. Brother Tunde Akande. That's his name. I said, so you also go out now and tell them about Christ. The Christ I just barely knew. By Monday, prayer. The week after, I started attending vigils. There was no room to grow. There was no room to grow. Nobody asked me what I wanted. Nobody. And by that same week, they're asking you, so the book you read, what's there? Assurance of salvation, repentance. That's what was in the book. So, teaching services, Holy Ghost services, prayer services. Watch this. We also have healing meetings. There's nowhere in the book of Acts where we have marriage services. Because marriage is not a church activity. I've said that to you before. So don't be discouraged that we don't conduct wedding services again. We counsel you. We pray for you. In our own way. And we let you go. Praise the Lord. We know about your relationship. Accountable to us. If you not like, do the reception in Bahamas. The engagement in the moon. And go to the sun to do the wedding. We don't do it. We used to. But we stopped. Not that it's wrong. There's nothing wrong in it. But we have no basis for it. We have healing services. Actually, some of those things have a way of taking your attention off. Many times,
churches are trying to do what other institutions should be doing. What is left for culture? What is left for the families? What is left for the individuals? What is left for the society? What is left for business schools? What is left for the government? The church starts to do it. The church's role is accountability and to disciple you. Because marriage is between two people. That's why when two people who got married as unbelievers, when they come to church and they get born again, we still call them married. You don't say, that was as now all things have passed away. All things have become new. So leave yourselves for now and let's pray over it. No, that shows you it happens between believers and non-believers, and both are valid. Who's following what I'm saying here? So the church should realize its role. Our role is to do what I'm doing this morning, to teach you, married or unmarried, teach you to walk in the Spirit, teach you to walk in the Word of God, and do the Word. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? So we don't organize it. It's not wrong. I'm not blaming those who do. We used to before. But now maybe we don't have time like that. It's very likely. So you have healing services. Obviously, you find healing services. Acts 3, it usually happens outside the auditorium or after the church gathering. Acts 3 at the beautiful gate. Acts 5, verse 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So there was signs and wonders in the church services. You have healing services. We also have, healing services, miracle services. People receive healing primarily, don't forget. We also have meetings where we fellowship. Or we create room for fellowship. For example, I told you that yesterday, in the early church, they had this semblance of fellowship. After teaching, alright, then we now share food, what we call a love feast. I started that practice years ago when I started pastoring. So on Fridays, we'll eat. But that used to be the largest, the highest attendance. I told someone last week, I said, have you observed? He said, sir, how do I grow church? How do I grow our church? I said, have you observed that on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, that if you want people to come on your page, post pictures, any picture, like, you have people just liking, wow, looking good. Post wedding issues. Post you have a child. Post a picture with you and a lady, you are not yet married, but you are calling yourself darling, darling, post it. Post yourself in an airport, Potoka International Airport. Post yourself in a plane. Airpiece. Post pictures and just post gists. Or say anything about the Premiership. Talk about money. I said, so if you are still asking me how to grow your church, I've given you ideas. Talk about relationships. Say anything about romance, you see crowd. Go and check most of my Facebook posts. If I say marriage, spouse, love, people I never knew were my friends. Muslims, Christo Muslims, Shintoists, they will come. So if you want to grow your church, that's the marketing strategy. Talk about those things often. When we now start saying law in Genesis, so great salvation. The word for salvation is the word soteria. Sota. Sozo.
Sozo. Sozo called somebody.
If you want to grow your church, I'm giving you strategies. And most of these guys will do this. I tell some of them, you don't have half as intelligent information as I have. But it's an abuse of office to use the pulpit for any other thing that is not of the faith. It's an abuse of office. Are you there? So we have fellowship. Okay, I was talking to you about how we used to. So Fridays. People say, I come in. And they will come around afternoon. Because we eat in the evenings. And they are the ones that won't bring food. So I stopped it. So instead of food, we just fellowship. That is a greet one another. That's fellowship. After the meetings. There are also meetings we just fellowship. We share semblance with another. Praise the Lord. So the church has its own meetings. The church is not where you come to get comedy. So next week, guys, we're going to be showing Wakanda. Believers can be so worldly. Anything trending, you will see it with them. Wakanda forever. I've never seen it before. Well, you know, some believers are just a mirror of the world. So we must recognize such meetings. Such meetings. We come together, and that's why Paul, look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, praise the Lord, when you come together, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So why should we come together? For the better, not for the worse. First of all, verse 18, when you come together in the church. Verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat. So gatherings are so stressed. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Verse 23, if the whole church is come together. So there's an emphasis on coming together. But coming together to fulfill the mandate of Christ. We won't come together to fulfill a political party's mandate. Or the mandate of commerce. Or the mandate of the world. Or the mandate of a culture. No. As a Christian, you have a right as a human being to belong to associations. I belong to non-Christian associations. Some of them, I'm even the leader. And we don't discuss Bible. You have your own company, your organization. Stay with that. But when we come together as the church, it is to fulfill the mandate of where? The church. And we get this done by the teaching, the Holy Ghost meetings, the prayer meetings, the healing services, and the fellowship. We must not be found trying to duplicate the world's work or the world's mission in our midst. Our agenda is to know Christ and fellowship in Him. That's our agenda. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. So don't expect to get in a church service what you get in a cinema. They're not the same. Don't expect to get in a church service what you get in a business seminar. They're not the same. Or what you get when you watch television. They are not the same things. They have different purposes they fulfill. The church is not like where you box where you drink coke. You just say, wow, I had a good. That's not the church. 1 Timothy 3:15. That thou mayest know how thou ought to behave in the house of God. That's the word oikia. The house of God, which is the church of the living God. What does he call it? The pillar and what? The word pillar is the Greek word stulos. S-T-U-L-O-S. Is used many times for men. It means mainstay. Mainstay.
The church is where we find the truth about Christ. That's why the next verse says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what we learn in the church. The pillar and ground. The word ground there is the word adrahoma. I need you to pay attention to this particular fact. I'll spell it for you. H-E-D-R-A-I-O-M-A. Adrahoma. H-E-D-R-A-I-O-M-A. It means steadfastness. Paul used it in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, be immovable. That means the church is where we find consistency of truth. Pillar and ground for truth. What does that mean? The church is not a place for new things. Innovations. No. It's the pillar and ground for truth. Mainstay. Consistency. Where truth is consistent. That's why you should get ready as a believer to hear the same things, do the same things every time in church. Let me see how they follow what we're saying here. You know, what new things should we do this month? What new things should we do? That's not church! It's mainstay of truth. The same Holy Ghost meetings. The same prayer meetings. The same teaching meetings. Glory to God. The mainstay. That's why Paul will say to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, the things you have learnt of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. In verse 14, 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, continue in the things you have learnt. In chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, I showed you that last week. He said, a time will come, they will no longer endure sound doctrine. They will not heap up teachers after their own lust. Having itching ears. You want to hear something new. That's not the church. The church is a place for consistent truth. The truth in its consistency. Nothing changes. Only our lives. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? As we keep applying the same truth. The same things of the Spirit. The same prayers. Then it reflects in our lives. We don't expect the church to change. We expect who to change? I'm the one to change. So I'm not coming to hear something new. Same teachings, same truth. Walk in love, prayer, evangelism, talk in tongues, minister to people, you know, give. Christ has forgiven you. I've heard that over and over again. Come on, tell me something new. 18 karate steps to enter the kingdom. Why did I say karate? I don't know why I said that. 46 principles to have the extraordinary life. That's it. I said, that is the present truth. No. It's a pillar and what? Ground for truth. So our meetings are places for growth. Where I grow by that consistency. I grow by that consistency. Consistency to listen to the word. Consistency to pray. Consistency of the ministry of the Spirit. How often should I be filled with the Holy Ghost? All the time. So in a Christian meeting, will I ever get tired of being full of the Holy Ghost? I need to be full of the Holy Ghost all the time. That's why in Acts of the Apostles, they were filled with the full of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2, 4. By Acts 4, verse 31, they were also full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 4, verse 8, Peter, full of the Holy Ghost. It's not a once and for experience, because the church is a pillar and what? Ground for truth. Consistencies. Consistency. I told this in a particular meeting and everybody went quiet. I said, when you hear the truth, I've told you before anyway, when you hear the word of God and you're excited, it's good. But that point, when you start getting bored of, and you are hearing the same things, so that you are, it's almost wearing off. That is when growth starts. When the boredom comes, you are going, you know, your first Holy Ghost meeting, woo! Your first camp meeting, woo! Your first believers convention, woo! Your first worship service, woo! Why are you not going for the woo? But to actually see the impact progressively in your life, then you are growing. Just like an adult. Paul says, when I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13:11, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. Now that I became a man, I threw away childish things. Nobody grows with excitement. You grow with consistency. So, you must learn to place value on Christian meetings. Not because they're something new. No. It's because now you are seeing the value of those things, of a consistent application of the same truths. You go for prayer meetings and you are praying the same prayers. The moment you hear about forgiveness of sins and there's no joy from your heart, there's a problem. There's something called the progress of faith, the joy of faith. It's not the joy of things. It's the joy of faith. Not the joy of things. Any human being can have the joy of things. Any human being. You don't have to be born again to celebrate success. Just be a human being. You don't have to be born again to celebrate that you won lottery. You got a car. Even you got healed. But the joy of the faith, hallelujah, is unique to us. The joy of our salvation. The joy of the faith. When you have left aside the joy of things, the celebration of things, Jesus told them, rejoice not because the demons are subject to you in my name. Rejoice because of the faith. When you get to that point, then you are growing. Not that you won't get healed. Not that you won't have things. Not that you have miracles. You will. You would. You should. Not that you won't have supplies. You will. But that's no longer where joy is coming from. The joy of the faith. Anybody can be happy that he has a child. Anybody should be happy that he's married. Anybody should be happy that he got a car. Anybody should be happy that he got a degree and made a first class. Anybody could be that. Anybody would be like that. But it takes a man who is spiritual to rejoice over the faith all the time. Let me see how I follow what I'm saying here. Come on, are you following me? That's Christianity. Then you're growing. Then you are growing. So you are praying the same things. You are praying. And there's so much joy because you are praying. Praying for others. Praying to make changes. Praying to get to grow in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Earlier this morning, I was studying. And I was just gloriously happy. Not because I got news that, oh my God, of course if I get news, I'll be happy. If I see good alert. You know good alert? You'll be happy. You know there's some alerts where they come. They come well. There are some, they read too many things because there's no money there. It's good. But you begin to see Christ. 2 nights ago, I think, or was it last night, I was sharing with a boy who was on the verge of being an atheist. The fact that I was talking to him about God so confidently from scriptures, then he said, sir, he's not a boy, he's a man actually, the medical doctor. He said, sir, pray for me. I was overwhelmed with joy. You know, I had other things in my mind that, you know, I'm also trying to sort out so many things in the natural. But I said, he was just joy. He said, pray for me. And I prayed for him. He had abandoned the church for a while. And we're chatting. And I prayed for him. He said, I don't speak in tongues against him. In 8 years I spoke in tongues. He said, you're going to speak now. And he spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. Do those things still bring you joy? By this year, I'll be a Christian for 30 years. And in the ministry, 26. By now, if I was just excited, I should have been
over it. But you know, the same thing still brings joy. From the first guy I led to Christ, hallelujah, to the last one I led to Christ, is the same joy. Hallelujah. That is the joy of faith. That's the progress. That's the progress. That's why Paul got to that point. He said, whether I have or I don't have, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You have gone beyond things. So the church is where we grow. We place value on those things. Prayer. The flow of the Holy Ghost. Say, I value prayer. I value the flow of the Holy Ghost. I value the teaching of God's word. I love to hear God's word. I love to teach God's word. I love to praise God. I love to pray. I love to pray in the Holy Ghost. I love to flow in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Not because of results. I'm glad about those things by themselves. I love to fellowship with believers. Don't know after the service. You run after the service like you are possessed. I say, we all sing the song, thank Jesus, and say, have a great week. Have a great week. I love to be among believers. Some of us are so comfortable among unbelievers. Now see that. Yeah. You are among believers and you are frowning. Brother, why are you like that? That's how my face is. When I was in secondary school, I'll be snarling with my friend when I get among the seniors, those upper six boys, I'll just frown. The guy called me. Oh, no, you can't come here. Why are you frowning your face? See, that's how I was born. Then, said, come. When he finished with me, he gave me four kinds of punishments. One day I'll do it for you. It's too late. Four. One is called Skelo. One is called Gamma. One, you hang on the bed. It's a double-decker bed. Then you hang like this. And you hold. The last one, you enter the roof and you shut it. Say, come down! Say, begin to smell! Suppose you were born that way. I love! When I told my dad, because my dad was an old boy of the school, he said, he didn't deal with you well. Why did you say that? That's my father. Before I tell my father, his senior beat you, he said, what did you do? Because he was a senior too. In the same school. So, you come among believers and your family. As soon as I get out and see your palace, both Muslim Christians, Muslim Christian, atheist Christian, and all manner of Christians. What's up, Bali? What is wrong with you? You are my believer. Yeah, I'm singing. Oh, the cross, I bow my knees. We lift our hands. Well, as soon as you get out, my darling, you are woo. When you get out, music, what is wrong with you? And here, you are forming Egyptian mummy. Are you in church? Hallelujah! I love Christian meetings. I love Christian meeting. I love to be there. I don't want to hear about it. I want to be there. Be there when things are taught. Remember when we were young and we used to watch Kenneth Hagin camp meetings. I prayed, I said, God, I want to be where this man is preaching. I want to be where he's preaching. By the time we're able to travel, the man has passed. Remember I spoke with T.L. Osborne. And I was supposed to meet up with him. I said, okay. As I got, it was the day I got to America that he died. Pray for me, oh. It was that day. I said, what? So I said, but you have read his books. Keep quiet. Who has not read his books? I love Christian meetings. When you are there, praise the Lord. As a believer, you don't select meetings. You go there, you don't say, well, for now, I just like the teaching part. Your prayer meetings are too stressful. I lent you guys to 3 hours. For what now? What's going on? I don't go for all those outreaches. I just come around. If I even the church service, you come in past 11, second service. No. 11:30, second service. When we're singing, your Lord, or what's the second one? Jesus, you are the center of, you are the major. Why are you like that? Not forsaking the assembling together of one another as the manner of some is. Hallelujah. Place value on Christian meetings. Honor it. Be there on time. Camp meetings around the corner. Be there on time. Be there in the sessions. Be there. Be punctual. Jesus gave a parable in Matthew 25. I told you, parables don't interpret parables word for word. In Matthew 25, go there quickly. We start to close. Matthew 25. Learning something? And verse 1. Then he says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. It's a mistake you start to look at 10 virgins and say 10 virgins means 10 born again. No. It's just describing a ceremony of the Jews. He says 10 virgins. Why did he give this story? He gave this story because he had been speaking from chapter 24 about how people should be aware of what God is doing. So he gives a parable in chapter 25 of the 10 virgins. How they were just careless. Say, don't you know the time of that visitation? That parable was about honor. Being aware, being alert. Not about rapture. So say the 10 virgins are 10 Christians. They are all born again, but the lamp is the Spirit, the fire is zeal, the oil is the Holy Spirit. It's you that will go and buy Holy Spirit. It's just a parable about alertness. That means in alertness and honor, you are punctual. You can do the right thing at the wrong time. Remember, Jesus took his disciples to pray with him, Peter, James, and John, in Garden of Gethsemane. He said, pray lest you enter into temptation. As he started praying like this, I said, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They slept off. You think it was tongues? Can't you guys tell me for 1 hour? So, Master, I'm sorry. I had a long day at work. But I'm fine now, sir. As he left, when he came again, he said, Master, we are ready now. He said, sleep on. The time has passed. Be punctual. Be there. Honor starts with what you do in your house before it sets. I've been practicing this for several years. Before I go to preach, before I go to a Christian meeting, I speak words. So tomorrow's service is going to be wonderful. I'll be full of the Spirit. I'll be taught the Word of God. Tomorrow as I teach God's Word, people will hear it. They will be blessed. I say it. As I'm coming up, I say it. I honor it. You will hardly find me attend a service late. I can count the number of times in my whole life that I've been late for a Christian meeting. I can count it for you. It's dishonor. Get there on time. And don't leave till the service is over. Except it has to be very crucial and urgent. Remember years back, I went for a meeting in Adoekiti, 2001. Pastor Fulke must have been there. And we had this meeting before I went out for this last night. I saw a brother who I was supposed to minister to. And I saw him in a vision. I saw him leave just about the time I was going to minister. So I asked the Lord, I said, what do I do? He said, nothing. I only showed you to see how people miss out when they don't stay for long in a meeting. I shared with my friend then, Pastor Boyega, pastor of the church, was a staff pastor of the church. I said, the Lord showed me something. I saw the brother. He sat to my right. And as I was teaching, he was saying, wow, glory, glory. He was zealous. So I was wondering, after seeing this, is this brother really going to get up? Is he going to get up? And I said, in Jesus' name, let us just stand up. He walked out. I told my friend, I said, wow, he did exactly what I saw. People like that will think, I'll get the tip. No. What you miss is not in the table. What you miss is not in the book. It's not in Living or Living World Media. It's in the meeting. Place value. Don't select meetings. That prayer meeting you avoided was exactly what you need. That Holy Ghost meeting, you put your hands in your pocket as though you needed healing, was the same meeting you needed. Don't select meetings. Be there on time. Imagine on the day of Pentecost you got there by 9. You'll have just joined others and say, what minute is this? That's the truth. What minute is this? Get there on time. Be there. Use your words. Use your words. Oh, in this service I'll be full of the Spirit. I'll know Christ more. I'll progress in the joy of my faith. I'll be strengthened. My ministry is strengthened. As a Christian businessman, I walk in the Spirit the more. As a Christian career person, as a diplomat, as a teacher, as a lawyer, as a doctor, I walk in the Spirit the more. I walk in God's wisdom the more and more in my career. I grow in the Word of God and I impact people's lives by the power of the Holy Ghost. That means you place premium on the meetings. Don't select the services you want to attend. Don't select the services you want to be in. Be there. Place value on Christian meetings. Hallelujah. You're blessed.